We all have to face that little demon that we have in our head. And I'm telling you, you have to face it, because if you don't, it will hold you back.
I'm Jess Averhart, and you're listening to the Reinvention Road Trip podcast. Listen, I'm a mom who's obsessed with the power and process of reinvention. And I'm also a fourth generation entrepreneur. I've worked on an Amish farm and for the world's most admired company, produced events in partnership with the NFL and NBA, and carved out a little place in the world of early stage startups. Every step of the way, learning the power of reinvention. So let's take this journey together. It's time to get inspired, dream louder, and own the keys that will unlock the next best version of you. You might be saying, everybody's talking about imposter syndrome. It's that new phrase that we're just throwing around, right? If you're like me, when I first heard it, you're like, I think I might relate to this, but really, what the heck is it? I know what an imposter is. It's like a fake and a fraud. And I know what a syndrome is. It's a condition. So is all this buzz around a fake syndrome? Well, yeah, kind of. It is. It's a feeling. Bottom line, it's a feeling. And it's one of being a fraud. And if it's not checked, it can drive you to make decisions that might hold you back. All right. Hold you back from what? Well, it could hold you back from pursuing your dream job, starting that blog for millennials or working moms. It could hold you back from going after that new role in your department, or maybe moving to another country to open up a little coffee shop, which is kind of a dream of mine, or becoming a hemp farmer, which was a dream of one of my close friends. Imposter syndrome is a feeling that, if gone unchecked, can wreak havoc in your life and can have you doubting even the most logical or obvious move. I remember the first time this little beast of burden showed up in my life. I was 22 years old. I had just graduated from college in Ohio and was starting my new job at General Electric as a financial analyst in their FMP program. Now, let's be clear. I did not go to school for finance. I took the fewest math courses and accounting classes as possible. I didn't find joy in solving for equations or figuring out straight line depreciation. I just wanted to work in an ad agency and flex my marketing and creative mind. So I went to business school and studied marketing management, and I minored in PR. It made sense for the path that I was on. Then out of nowhere comes GE. And in 1998, GE was on the cover of Fortune magazine as America's most admired company. Yep, they showed up at our business school for the first time ever to recruit students into their FMP program. And until that year, they had only recruited from the Ivy and the Baby Ivy schools. That's right. They only recruited from Harvard, Princeton, Duke, Stanford, and the like. That's who was filling this program. My school was the experiment. Okay, so in other words, GE was saying, I wonder if we can find talent outside the normal candidate pool and in these small private schools in Ohio. Long story short, they hired me, and only me. I had the highest graduating salary that year, with a moving package and stock options. I was handed America's dream on a silver platter. My professors were proud. My fiance was proud. My dean of my college, of my business school, was proud. My family was proud. And I was terrified. I thought, how can they hire me? Don't they know I don't like finance and I'm not a Harvard grad? It was my nightmare coming true on my first day. Sure enough, I replaced a Duke grad. And when I met the other FMPs, I quickly realized I was the only new hire that was part of the experiment. I felt like a placebo drug. You know, that's the whole thing where you're like, let's put her in with all the tried and true tested college grads and see if this thing works. There were no words at the time for imposter syndrome. It wasn't mainstream back then. I didn't have anyone around me to tell me that it would be okay or that my feelings were normal. No one listed the categories of imposters and said, hey, you fall into the soloist category, which is true. I am a soloist. It was sink or swim, and I sunk, and I sunk fast. Within 3 months, I resigned from GE. From the pressure, basically, of feeling like I didn't belong and that my marketing and management background would be discovered as a handicap instead of an asset. Listen, it turns out that 70% of Americans suffer from imposter syndrome. I wasn't alone, but I just didn't know it. You know, it wasn't the thing. It wasn't what we were talking about. So today I want to help you and hopefully save you from some of the angst that I had along the way. We're going to share 5 types of imposter so you understand what that means and which category you might fall in. Knowledge is power, people. So we're going to uncover those imposter types. And then the second thing we're going to do is talk about and provide a few quick tips to overcoming these common feelings of intellectual self-doubt. Okay, are you ready? Let's go. This is the fun part, I think, is thinking about which type of imposter category you fall in. So according to Dr. Valerie Young, she's the one who sort of came up with these subgroups in her book, The Secret Thoughts of Successful Women. She created 5 groups. Now, when I say successful women, I just want to pause here. This is a podcast for women. And I want to be really clear that when imposter syndrome was first coined, it was thought that only women suffered from it. But that statistic about 70% of Americans, that's across the board. So while originally this whole idea was created for women, which of course we all understand why. I mean, women were back in the day, were trying to do everything, right? And so we're battling this. We're trying to deal with our families. We're trying to, you know, advance in our careers. And so the study was for women, trying to understand why women didn't go after the big promotion, why women weren't starting companies. But it turns out that imposter syndrome doesn't discriminate. It's across the board. Gender is not a factor. So she came up with these 5, going back to this topic here, she came up with these 5 categories. And I'm going to list them for you. And you might want to grab your pen because I found this to be very handy for 2 reasons. One, I was able to identify who I was, which type of imposter category did I fit into? And secondly, I was able to hear these different categories and say, oh, I get that. My coworker is probably feeling this. Like, I see this in him. I see this in her. And it helped me to relate and really have some empathy around it. Okay. So the first category is the perfectionist. Okay, this is seems obvious, right? If you're the perfectionist, you have high expectations for yourself, where even the smallest mistake makes you feel like a failure. Okay, so just think about this. And you might say, oh, Jess, as you're reading this, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I fall into like 4 out of the 5. You're going to realize when you write these down that you actually lean into one over the other. Okay, so you may blend here, but there's going to be one that stands out. Again, the perfectionist, you have high expectations for yourself. Even small mistakes make you feel like a failure. Okay, the next category is the superwoman or the superman. Okay, if you're this imposter, you're the one who puts in long hours, you never take days off, you have to succeed in all aspects of your life in order to prove that you're the real deal. So when people say, oh, you know, what did you do this weekend? You're like, I worked all weekend. I have 16 hours, all that stuff, right? You know, I never take time off. PTO, what is that? I don't take it. You're falling into the superwoman, superman category. Maybe you're the natural genius, okay? These natural geniuses drive me crazy. You're the ones where things come so easily to you. Like, you know everything and it's so easy. But when something is hard or you don't master it on the first try, you feel shame or self-doubt. Like, you're the one in high school that didn't have to study and got straight A's. You went to college and blew through all the classes and you were like, I rocked this out. Like, bring it on. I got this. But then at the end of the day, you get into the professional world or you become you're a family person, a family man, a family woman, and something doesn't come easy to you. You're so used to winning all the time that you feel shame and self-doubt. The soloist. You probably heard me mention this before. I am this person. I'm the soloist. I don't like to ask for help. And when I do, I feel like a failure or a fraud. Like that's me to a T. I really had to work on this. I still have to work on this. I will work twice as long or twice as many hours to do it myself than to ask somebody to help me, because I feel like if I have to ask, it means that I'm a failure. Like I don't know enough or I'm not good enough. That's a hard one for me to overcome, but I know that that's me. And so I'm really working on that. And then the expert. So you are the one that continuously seeks out additional certificates. You're the one that's going back to school. You're getting extra trainings. You're taking a bunch of courses. And you do this because if you don't, you feel like you're never qualified. You're like, I didn't take this course. I need this extra certificate, or people won't think I'm qualified enough. So you know that person who has all those certificates on the wall. All right. So those are the five imposters. I'm just going to walk through them one more time, high level again. Perfectionist, high expectations for yourself. Small mistakes make you feel like a failure. Superwoman, Superman, you're the one that's just putting in all those hours trying to prove that you're the real deal. The natural genius, okay, you're the one where things come so easily that if you don't master it, you're feeling kind of bad or you're doubting yourself. The soloist, like me, you don't ask for help. And when you do feel like you have to ask for help, you feel like that's a sign of failure or weakness. The expert, you're the one who's out there taking all these courses, showing everybody that you've got a million initials behind your name, and that equals qualification. All right. So I hope that was helpful. I mean, it's good to know, like I said, knowledge is power, folks. You got to know who you are. And like being able to say, you know, I do suffer from imposter syndrome, and I usually am the one who is a soloist. When you get your friends, your family, and colleagues to kind of come on board with that, they'll start to see those tendencies and they can be really helpful, which leads me to how do you overcome this? Okay. So again, I hope you have your pen ready, because this is really the juice, right? This is what helps us get over the hump. The first thing for me, again, these are my tips. I literally use these things, is get honest. Recently I experienced this. I was on a Zoom call and, I really felt like I didn't belong on the call. I felt like everyone on the call was overqualified. They like had incredible resumes. I wasn't sure what I could contribute. And so I shrunk back in the call. And literally, guys, this was just a call of introduction. It wasn't even like a deep call. It was just like we were meeting somebody on the call for the first time. So we were all introducing ourselves. And I think everyone's pedigrees just like freaked me out and I stopped talking. I was in it and then I jumped right back out and I stayed out of the conversation until the very end. And it was a man, the only man on the call, who brought me back into the conversation and said, "Hey, Jess, what do you think?" And I was so embarrassed because he had to do that and that I couldn't will myself back into the conversation in a way that felt good to me. And so he had to bring me back in and I was, you know, fumbling around trying to seem cool. And I got off that call and I was like, oh, what just happened? You know, you just know it. I knew in that moment that I felt like I wasn't good enough and I felt like a fraud. So what I decided to do was tell a good friend of mine, and not just any friend, because you have the girlfriends, right? That'll be like, "Girl, you got this. You're awesome. You know, don't worry about it. Next time will be good. You know, it was them, not you," whatever, right? Then you have the girlfriend who's like, the one that I reached out to was like, "Okay, help me understand what happened." And so she did that. She's like, "What happened?" And I explained it to her and she said, "Okay, it sounds like a couple things. It sounds like you didn't know, you weren't prepared to ask questions on the call, which would have helped you jump back in. And you didn't have any transition statements." I mean, she like was able to dissect it really quickly. And she's right. I wasn't ready for how to participate in that kind of conversation. I don't know why. I'm normally a pretty good communicator, but in this case, I just froze. And she said, "Here's what you do." And she gave me two easy tips. And I love her for it because she gave me action items. She said, "Ask the second question. Just go into every call now knowing that you're going to ask the second question. Just come up with something, be ready to go, write it down, and then jump in. You don't have to ask the first one. It might be too intimidating, but at least jump in at two. I said, okay, I can do that, right? Simple. I can do that. And then she said, come up with a transition phrase so that if you ever do get stuck along the way, you've got a lead in. And I was like, okay, so give me an example. And she said, why don't you just, she said, keep it simple. There's lots of ways to transition. Why don't you just say, I'd like to add. And she said, and girl, you could just reiterate what the person before you just said in your own words. You don't even have to make it complicated, but just say, I would just like to add that the person before you, you know, that Susie's comment around this idea of moving from East Coast to West Coast, that transition can be really difficult. I think that it can be too, and just talk about it from your own experience and then off you go. Whatever that transition phrase is will help you guide you through the rest of the conversation. So I had to get honest. Had I pretended like that Zoom call was fine or hid it from other people or myself, really, I would not have been able to get that really good and constructive, honest feedback. The second thing you can do is focus on facts and not feelings. Okay, focus on facts and not feelings. I was feeling on that call inadequate. I was insecure and I felt ill-equipped. That's how I felt. The fact was, this was a very casual introductory call where we were getting to know each other, and I belonged on that call because I'm on the team and I add value. That's the facts. But my feelings overrode those facts, right? And so I couldn't get out of my feelings to even see the facts for what they were. And it spun out of control where I lost control of the call. So focus on the facts of the matter, right? If you're feeling imposter syndrome, you might be feeling inadequate in your role or feeling like you're not an entrepreneur when you just start your new business, right? But the fact is, you did apply for your, you know, incorporation papers with the state, right? And so you do have a company now. And so you really are a business person. That's a fact. Like, it's registered. It's locked in, and you're going to be paying taxes on that thing. But you might feel like that's not true because yesterday you hadn't done that, right? And so today you have to throw yourself into a business mindset. Okay. The third thing to think about and to overcome imposter syndrome is that being an outsider sometimes is normal. Okay. I'm just going to say that again. Being an outsider sometimes is normal. We always want to fit in. We always want to feel like we're part of the crowd, and we don't get comfortable sometimes being on the outside looking in. But we have all been there at one time or the other. I promise you. Let me give you an example. When you start a new job and you have never been to that company before, first day on the job, you are an outsider. You've never been there. Everybody there that you're working with has been there. They've got routines. They hang out in the break room. They take walks. They, you know, they understand what team meeting is supposed to be. They bring their stuff, right? They know. And you're learning. Being an outsider is normal. And the cure for that is time. It's not necessarily a deal breaker, right? You just need the time to become part of the crew, right? I mean, within weeks, you'll be doing those walks, you'll be having lunches, you'll be rocking it out. You know the team meeting structure and all as well. Another time where you might not feel like you're part of the group is when you're doing a great job. Like when you're exceptional at your work and your boss starts to say, hey, I want you to take on this special project, right? Or I want you to go on this trip and represent the company, or I want you to be on that call and represent the department. That is sort of feeling like an outsider. You're not part of the group anymore. You're being called out for your exceptional work and your exceptional talent. And it can feel bad, and you can feel like you want to shrink back and be part of the group. Really, that's normal to feel like an outsider, because that's how you grow and develop and you move on, right? And so we need to embrace that feeling. The next tip would be, know your highlight reel. This is one of my favorite ones. I talked about it in my podcast with Shelley Bell, is this whole idea of, we get so worried and imposter syndrome really shows up when we have dreams that we're looking forward to, right? And so we're looking ahead. We want to accomplish this. We want to start our new gig. We want to move to a new location. We've got all these things we want to do, write a book. And we look ahead and we're like, how am I going to do it? I'm not an author. I haven't written that much. You know, I'm not as qualified as these other people. Will I be able to like cut it in the interview? Right. So we look ahead and we're like, oh, I can't do it. My challenge to you is to look to your left. So if the right is your future, I want you to turn your body and look to the left. And I want you to look all the way down your life's timeline. When I do this, it's overwhelming for me because I forget some of the hardest and most beautiful moments that I've had in my life have been these moments where I've accomplished really great things to me, right? Like raising a teenager, surviving separation and divorce and feeling like I have great co-parenting relationship, right? Figuring out how to navigate being a single mom, moving in and out of the sports and entertainment world, which can be quite interesting, and into a corporate setting, and then into the nonprofit world, and then leading a nonprofit, right? The awards are great and those are real and I accomplished those and I'm proud of those. When you look to your left and you see that timeline, you should be proud of yourself. Give yourself a hand. It's not easy to live, right? Life is hard and challenges come our way. And I promise you, every single person, if you look down that line, sure, there's going to be stuff that is hard or you're not super proud of, but I promise you there's probably more that you are proud of and that you have accomplished. And that gives you the juice, that gives you the oomph to turn to your right and say, if I did that, then I can definitely do this, right? If I did that, what can I do? Like, I'm built for more. I'm built to be great. Clearly, I got it in me because I can look in my past and see the wins. Okay. So that's your highlight reel. And by the way, I write mine down and Shelly gave us challenge to like, when you go to that podcast, that episode, you'll hear her write, issue you a challenge to write 100 wins, right? Essentially 100 wins that you've had in your past. Remind yourself of all the good things. We always like to think about how bad our past is. We're like a prisoner of our past. Okay. Like let your past free you, let it free you. It should tell you you're capable of more. Okay. The other thing you can do is fake it till you make it. I'm not kidding. Fake it till you make it. I'm a big believer in this. And this is for another time, but there have been some key moments where I had no clue what I was doing or how to do it. And I just said, yeah, I got that. And then I ran back to my place and figured it out. And it's made me a lot of money, actually, and has won me quite a few contracts along the way, one in particular, which I definitely will do in a future episode. But faking it till you make it has its wins, has its benefits, seriously. And so if you've got it in you and it's something you really want, then just go with the flow, figure it out, you know, exercise your talent and skill and get it done. And I promise you, you'll get to the point where you don't have to fake it anymore. And then the last tip I got from Jenna Kutcher, who has a podcast called Gold Digger, which I love. And she gave this tip, which I wanted to share with you, which was give up the if-then statements. Okay. So imposters oftentimes use the if-then statement as an excuse to hold yourself back. Okay. So let me give you a couple of examples that I was thinking about. If I get named 40 under 40, which I think is in like all the cities, right? We have it here, 40 under 40, the 40 best, you know, professionals under the age of 40, then I will go after my dream job. Like I'll be qualified to go after my dream job. If I make $20,000 this year, then I can tell people that I'm an entrepreneur, but only then. Okay. If I get invited to speak at like more than 5 locations or 5 opportunities, then I will add, I'm a speaker to my LinkedIn profile. So if then, right, we always have these hangups, like we qualify ourselves and put these hurdles in front of ourselves on purpose to hold us back, either consciously or subconsciously. I don't know which, but it's bad news bears either way. because we're self-eliminating from our future, right? And from our dreams. So you don't have to be invited five times. If you were invited once by someone to speak, guess what? You're a speaker, right? They're asking you to share your gifts and talents. You are that. You don't have to put yourself a number and then say, oh, I only spoke four times. I guess I'm not a speaker. I don't want anybody to know. If you signed up for the business, you know, and you've got your business registered with the state and you are actively working on your business to be profitable, you are a business owner, because guess what? There are business owners that are not profitable. They're in the early stages of their company. And we all know that you have to put money in to make money. So at what point do they get to say they're a business owner with their first dollar? No, it's probably the first moment, time, sweat equity that they put in that company. They are a business owner. If you get named 40 under 40, so you're going to let somebody else tell you that you're worthy before you decide you're worthy for a dream job. Somebody has to give you an award, tell you accolades, put your name in the paper, and then you're worthy. No, you've got this. You don't need someone else to tell you and to validate you in that way. If you're a hustler, if you grind, if you're working hard, if you're gifted and talented and you know what those things are, go after your dreams. Okay. So those are some tips. I'm hopeful that those were really helpful to you when you think about imposter syndrome. Again, listen, you're not alone. I didn't mention this, but like Michelle Obama, Meryl Streep, Maya Angelou, Jennifer Lopez, Tom Hanks, Tina Fey, there's a long, long list. If you Google celebrities who have imposter syndrome, the celebrities I just listed are all publicly acknowledging their imposter syndrome. You can find quotes on it. You can find their little write-ups, interviews that they've done, where they just feel like, you know, if people actually knew the behind the scenes, they really wouldn't think that, you know, Michelle Obama was all that, right? This is what Michelle Obama is saying. But we're all like, are you kidding me? You're amazing. Meryl Streep, you're like the best actress ever to cross the stage. And she's like, not really though, right? We all have to face that little demon that we have in our head. And I'm telling you, you have to face it, because if you don't, it will hold you back. And I want you to be successful. I want us as women to lead the way and to like slay these dragons that we have in our head. And to know that you're in good company should make you feel good, because all that takes now is just the work to overcome it, right? Is to put things in practice, little mantras in practice to overcome it. My favorite sort of quote that I use all the time for myself, and I'm going to give this to you, is that the room is better because I'm in it. I get worried and caught up in, you know, am I good enough? Have I been doing this long enough? You know, have I researched enough? You know, am I communicating it well enough? And so at the end of the day, I just say to myself, even when I get on this podcast, so the room is better because I'm in it, right? And when I walk in someplace, I'm like, I have something to contribute. I have something to give. And I'm hopeful that, you know, using this podcast as a platform, that's how I feel too. Like, I hope that I'm able to teach and help along the way because of my experiences, and that it's been helpful to you. So friends, I'm done with this imposter syndrome business. I'm glad that I was able to share some of these insights with you. And like I said, I hope you take them and run with it and conquer the world and live your best life. Thanks so much, friends. Love you. I'll see you next time. Thanks, friends, for riding along on today's Reinvention Road Trip. If you like what you heard, tell a friend and leave us a review. I know it seems like a little thing, but it is so important to see if we're on the right track. You can find the show notes at jessaverhart.com/podcast. And don't forget to join the Reinvention Road Trip by signing up for our newsletter, where I share behind-the-scenes details and nuggets that you won't hear on the show. New episodes drop weekly, so subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to your podcast these days. All right, friends, thanks so much. Until next time.